What once was lost is now found again. Welcome to the Green Hill Zone. Coming to you live from Warrensburg, Missouri. I'm solo. That's how it's going to be from now on. I hope we can all deal with that. Thank you and welcome back. It has been too long. It has been very depressing, difficult, challenging. I'm sure for all of you to be without me as it's been without you for me. Man, I really need Adam here to help me with my English. Anyway, we've got a big show for you planned today, and by we, I mean I. First of all, let me kind of introduce all the new Green Hill Zone for what it's going to be from now on. We're going to have a new format, a new structure, a new design, and what that's pretty much going to include is the following. We're still going to have me as the host, so you couldn't get off that easy. We've got Adam still contributing in a myriad of ways, one of which will be his art for the site will continue to be posted as the webcomic each week, so be sure to check out the actual greenhillzone.podomatic.com to see the new comic. In addition to that, I'm adding a whole new piece that I have no name for, though it's roughly called what we're going to have is like a correspondence section. Each week I'm going to try to reach out and get a hold of at least one person. This week I'm going to try to get a hold of Adam and another person, a surprise guest, if I may. And if this continues to go well, it will be able to include any of our listeners as long as you have Skype or another means of communicating over the internet vocally. And if things really go according to my master plan, I'll be able to try to get a hold of maybe some game developers, some pro gamers, maybe some people who've been working in the industry. So I think that would be a very beneficial addition to the show, if I may. Aside from those two things, which include Adam and potentially a lot of other people, we're going to continue with gaming news. I'm obviously going to continue with the listener feedback. That's going to be peppered throughout the show as opposed to having its own specific section. I'll use the feedback when it kind of fits the corresponding news, topic, or just general discussion as opposed to talking about each one in its own listener feedback section. We'll also have the currently playing, the reviews, those still stay the same, though I might get rid of the Tombstone ranking. Perhaps it's time to move away from that without my partner here. And finally, it's going to have just things that I've been thinking about in the gaming industry. So it's more set up more like a talk show now without anybody to talk to. I hope you like it. I'm glad we're doing it. At the very least, we can be happy that there's one more episode posted on the internet. Okay, so I think that pretty much sums up where the show's going to be heading and how it's going to get there. So let's go ahead and kick off the brand new Green Hill Zone. Yeah, that I need to work on that too. But that's not how we're going to introduce each week. Anyway, here's what we've got this week. Lots of gaming news. Literally, I've probably been gone, or no show has been posted, I think, for close to a month. Things have changed in the gaming landscape, and there's no possible way I could get to it all, so I'm going to rely on everybody else. If they have something they've been meaning to talk about, or wanted to mention, or get some expertise on, clearly I am here to provide that. I can also bring up a couple of topics on my own, which I'm going to do right now. Today I read that the new Xbox console is allegedly going to be called Pure. Now, this is going to be hopefully released in like 2011, allegedly, though I really hope it's not released until like 2013. I'd rather get much more mileage out of the systems we have now, though I know that's probably not going to happen. I gotta say, not sold on the name Pure. I mean, if you look at the history of console names, there are very few which I actively support. You've got the Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm just going to go generally. The NES, for what it's worth, is a decent name. It's the name of a company, so it'd be like the Sony Entertainment System, which I'm not a really big fan of, but I'll let it slide because they're like the groundbreakers. I do like Atari a lot more. Then you've got something like the Sega Genesis, and preceding the Genesis was the Sega Master System, which I think is fairly awesome. If you have anything called the Master System, I'll probably buy it. Maybe two of them. Then you have things... I liked the Genesis as well. Can't say I'm a big fan of the Sega CD or the Sega 32X, though I bought one of those two. If you can guess which one and my favorite games for it, I will send you a Green Hill Zone t-shirt. In addition to that, we have the Nintendo 64, which I think is one of the worst game titles of all. Like, the Super Nintendo was cool because anytime you put a prefix of Super in front of something, it's a lot more interesting. Like Super Green Hill Zone, which is what I might call the show now that it's just me. But Super anything, Super Master System, would probably be the greatest system, a gaming console, period. No matter what capabilities it had, if it's called the Super Master System, I must have it. And then you've got things like the Nintendo 64, I think, is just a stupid name because it's a play on the 64-bit capabilities, which, by the way, I find very interesting that we were so fascinated by bits, and that seems to have gone by the wayside. Around the same time as that, actually before, you have the Sony PlayStation. PlayStation's not bad. I used to hate the name when I was like 11 when it came out. The PlayStation, I mean, it just sounds like kids kind of thing. Now I've kind of grown into liking it more. It just seems so natural. And then you have things that kind of defy coolness with, like, Virtual Boy. I've always thought that the Xbox is kind of stupid. I've always thought that the GameCube was kind of... Well, GameCube's not bad, but then I really do hate the Wii. And I don't like the Xbox 360. If we can go back to a simpler time where video game consoles were all called something awesome, which we need to go from Sega, because if you look at Sega's track record outside of the 32X and the Sega CD, you've got the Master System, the Genesis, the Saturn, and the Dreamcast. All of those are awesome names for consoles. Now, the worst consoles, I think, would have to be like the 3DO and the Jaguar, which coincidentally were also the worst video game consoles of all time. But there was another one that I really can't remember. There was, at the same time of 3DO, there was this other system called something with an I in it. And the I was important. And if I could just remember what that was, because I literally almost bought it because it had the game that was FMV that starred a guy named Dirk, and he was like a dragon hunter. He was some knight going into a castle, and I really, really wanted it, so I almost bought this I system, which I now, the name escapes me. So the new Xbox is going to be called Pure, which I guess out of the three, the Xbox, the 360, and the Pure, I guess, I would go with the 360, I guess. That's probably my favorite. Because I don't have to call it the Xbox anymore, but the Xbox Pure, gonna have to say, not sold on it yet. That's just, and if whatever they do for Sony's next console, please don't use Spider-Man lettering. It looks so stupid. That's the only thing I don't like about the PlayStation 3, is its ridiculous lettering on the console. Okay, other big news that I wanted to kind of touch on was that Warhammer Online was released yesterday. This is another MMO. This time, I think it's from Mythic Studios, a subsidiary of EA, Electronic Arts. And I have to say, I made a horrible financial decision and bought this game. I don't know what I was thinking, but I do know that two of my friends play it. And I figure, well, hell, I'm playing World of Warcraft sparingly. I'm playing Final Fantasy XI sparingly. And I'm paying $15 a month each for those. Why not throw in a third MMO? So if I have not shown my gaming dedication yet, I think I have now proven to the world just what kind of idiot sap I am by buying every subsequent MMO offering. And I gotta be honest, I'm not sold on Warhammer Online yet. Its big selling point is this whole realm versus realm combat, PvP kind of action. And the first warning sign should be that I'm not a big fan of PvP, so I should have jumped ship immediately. But when you have your friends all playing a game, you're almost like, I feel more obligated to enjoy that with them, because I know that's why I bought Burnout Paradise, it's why I bought Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, it's why I buy a lot of games, just so I can play with like those friends who've either moved away or I don't get to hang out with as often. But let's be honest, Warhammer Online suffers from, here's what I think are its initial problems. Not a lot of There's a lot of classes to choose from, like a warrior, a paladin, a knight, or mage, rogue. Those kind of things are intact. Yet they're limited to each race. So like a human on the order side can only be three things, like a witch hunter, which of course I am because I'm named Belmont. There's a mage class, and then there's a warrior priest. And I hate healing people, so I'm not going to play as the warrior priest. Though, if that's more like a paladin type, I think I'll create one and kind of just go with it, see if that's any fun. But the problem, and then there's like a bunch of dwarf and other characters, but I really like to have a variety of classes, which is why I still liked Final Fantasy XI and still play it, because you can have some 27 jobs, and in that game at least, your character that you create can change between, it's interchangeable between any of those, which is something I enjoy quite a bit. And you retain the levels that you've gained in that field. But Warhammer, I feel kind of pigeonholed into this. I really wanted to play as a human in this game because I'm tired of playing as elves, and I feel like there's not a lot of variety. And then when I actually got into the game, I think it's... I got some big news regarding a computer, but my computer running it can run it at the highest settings, and it's really not that impressive. I mean, like, World of Warcraft at its highest settings is not by any means amazing, but its animation, its color palette, it's just its worldly feel more professional, more polished, and look better than I think Warhammer Online does. Because, I mean, like, if you're seeing animations in that game, they look like literally 3 or 4 frames sometimes when something is, like, flying or some of your weapon attacks. But I did do some of the realm versus realm stuff. It's not bad. We got our ass kicked. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, and I got so brutally raped that I need to probably take a step back from that and learn how to play the game probably before I go and challenge other people. I really didn't get a feel. It shares a lot of similarities with World of Warcraft, and you know it's kind of awkward when the mission statement from the Warhammer Mythic Studios team was like, our goal, this is a quote by the way, our goal is to be the number 2 MMO out there, quote unquote. Now, I'm a realist as any much of another person, but to openly be like, we know we're going to be second best, I kind of feel like they dropped the ball a little bit in terms of execution. But I'm still going to give it a chance. It's a free month at least, and I paid $50 for the damn thing, so I'm going to give it some time. But before mentioning, I just mentioned during that segment of Warhammer Online that the World of Warcraft was something that I was comparing it to. In other news, The Wrath of the Lich King has a release date set for November 13th, and there has been a seismic change. I don't think that's the correct term for that, but there's a huge earth-changing event patch coming that's going to change the way we play the game completely. From head to toe, it looks like they're redesigning a majority of the classes. They're introducing a lot of new objectives, a lot of new questing styles. And personally, my favorite, they're introducing a barbershop where you can get haircuts and facial hair trims or additions. If they had that in real... they have barbershops in real life, but if they had a place where I could go and just pay to have my facial hair changed, I would do that. That's probably the single greatest addition to any video game I've ever seen, and it's one that's going to allow me to keep playing constantly. I will change my facial hair at least once a week in Wrath of the Lich King. So if you're interested, there's a whole patch notes portion released for download for the beta and for viewing pleasure somewhere on the internet. I forget where I saw it. And there are loads of changes. And to my knowledge, I've been talking around the community, and a lot of people are freaking psyched about this patch. Like, more so than the Burning Crusade, I think. I do think so. So many people are looking forward to this patch as a way to, like, revive the game. And my old compatriot, Logan, Adam, whatever you want to call him, has been pressuring me daily to level with him. Because right now he's a 64 Warlock and I'm a 62 Paladin on Feathermoon. And he's been saying that we need to get to 70, because as soon as we do, we get to grind to 80, and that's going to be awesome. I'm not sure about that quite yet, but I am looking forward to playing with him again. I'm a little burnt out on MMOs, considering the fact that for some unknown reason I'm playing 3 right now. In addition to updates, I've got 2 more things for you. There's a Mega Halo update coming out on September 25th, which, now I'll be honest, I'm the first to admit that I've kind of jumped ship on the Halo bandwagon. PJ still coerces me into playing, like, once a week, and I play a couple of times with my buddies, you know, Stace and Aaron the Batman Schwartz and PJ, but the game to me, after playing some other first-person shooters lately, just does not have the competitive balance, excitement, and feel, and even speed that other games I'm playing offer. That being said, I am looking forward to this new update. They're redesigning a lot of the matchmaking systems. They're adding a lot of new achievements. And if anything, I think it'll kind of rekindle that Halo love in all of us who own a 360 right now, so we'll all have a chance to play some, although they're taking out Big Team Battle, I've heard. So if they're taking out that, we maybe can't play as a mega team, but it'd be nice to maybe have that rekindled a little bit so that all of us can play together and we can enjoy that game for what it was, for those glory days we had, amazingly, almost a year ago. Because on September 25th, that'll be the 1-year anniversary for Halo 3. How does that happen? What the hell happened to 2007-2008? What happened? It's gone. It's completely gone. And now, I cannot believe that game came out a year ago. And I guess I should be pleased that I'm actually still popping it in and playing it every once in a while. The other big update that I read about was that Burnout Paradise, whom I know 2 of our listeners played, so this is dedicated to Paper H and Stace. There's a free downloadable patch that includes bikes. Now, if anything gets me back into the game, it'll probably be a motorbike, because there's nothing cooler than facial hair and motorbikes and pizza and Master Systems. If you have those 4 things, and women, 5, those 5 things... Well, okay, there's like 10 things I really like, but those are really great. And I think they should have released the game with bikes in the first place, but now that bikes are officially out, count me back in. Let's race, Stace. Oh, God, that just sounded so stupid. Let's race, Stace. Anyway, here's the thing I'm calling out to all listeners. I need your help. This is important to me. This is another big topic that's something that's been bothering me. Time Splitters 4. Now, Time Splitters in general is among my favorite franchises that had been released on the original PlayStation 2. I love Time Splitters 1 through 3. I love them. Time Splitters 4, I think it's... I'm going to get this wrong, but I believe the developer's Free Radical. I believe. I'm probably wrong, but... They're trying to start gearing up for Time Splitters 4, and they're having an online vote on which system the fans want to see it on. And for some inexplicable reason, the Wii is currently winning, and this cannot be allowed to happen. Please, please at least vote for the 360 or the PS3, preferably the 360, so that a high... in product can be released with the Time Splitters logo on it. I would love nothing more than a mega awesome looking cartoony Time Splitters that I could play with Stacy. Nothing more. I will literally give free food, drink, and I'll let you sleep in my bed if you vote for with me. I would like that. It's lonely here in Warrensburg. If you would just vote for the 360 version, that's all I ask. I ask so little of you fans. Please do this thing for me. That's all I've ever asked for. I know Adam won't do it, because he's against anything I'm supporting, but I can count on you guys, listeners, loyal listeners, to vote for the 360 version, or at the very least, the PS3 version, at absolutely avoided all cost. the Wii version. And you can find that website probably by Googling Time Splitters 4 Vote. That's what I would do. So, there's that. And another thing I wanted to touch on was... it's embarrassing to me, but has anybody seen the new Microsoft ad campaign with Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Gates? It's been universally reviled, and I'm a huge Seinfeld guy. I love him. I love anything he's ever done, with the exception of these commercials and his B-movie promos on NBC. I saw some of those when I was watching The Office, and they were awful. They were absolutely horrible. The new ad campaign was equally horrible, and they've already been canned, but I was wondering if anybody saw the release of the new Microsoft ad campaign. It's a variation of things that say, I'm a PC and I do these things, like I sell fish, or I'm a geek, or I wear glasses, or I play video games, and they're trying to battle the I'm a PC, I'm a Mac commercials head on, and I want to just get a clear consensus of who you think's winning this argument. I think it's interesting that Microsoft even tries to it lowers itself down to, I mean, the Macs have less than a 5% share on PC-related products. A less than 5% share, according to my statistics. Yet, obviously I know that they're winning in the ad campaign department. I know that's very popular. I know that it's the Macs are the trendy, cool thing, and that nothing's wrong with that. I don't really mind Macs. I almost bought one. But PCs have a foothold in this industry, especially for gaming. Especially for gaming. Now, what concerns me is that I don't even know why Microsoft has the need to go and challenge or even answer to these I'm a Mac, I'm a PC commercials. It doesn't seem like a sound strategy that you should even be allowing them the credit that, yeah, you guys' commercials are funny, or these things are doing well, and I'm going to put this to bed immediately. So, if anybody has seen the new commercials, what did you firstly think of the Seinfeld commercials? And secondly, what did you think of these new, I'm a PC and I'm a loser campaign, because that's what mine would be. And it, by the way, if you're really interested, you can go to the website of Microsoft, and you can submit, if you have a web camera, you can submit your own I'm a PC and I'm a whatever, and it can be 6 seconds long, and you might find yourself on a national commercial, which I would find awesome, because I've been on national TV. Let this be known that I auditioned for ESPN Dream Job back when I was a younger man, when they held auditions in Kansas City, and I was standing outside, quick story, and I was waiting in line, and I think I've actually told this on the podcast, but basically a woman interviewed me, and she said, hey, you look pretty interesting, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you do? I told them, oh, well, I'm an actor, and she encouraged me, for some ungodly known reason, to perform a monologue. Politely declined and said, no, I really don't have anything off the top of my head that I can just pull out. She said, no, please do so. And I gave probably the worst, serious, awful monologue I have ever given in my entire life. And then when the actual premiere of the show came on ESPN, who did we see on the blooper reel of them making fun of? That's right, your host, Peter. And Adam, to this day, gets a great jolly laugh anytime it's mentioned because of how stupid and how awful I looked on national TV. So now you can do the same, so I can laugh at you on these new Windows commercials. That's pretty much where I'm going to wrap up the news section. There's literally a bajillion other things that have happened in the month that I've been gone. There's been huge game releases. There's even like, if you want to talk about The Force Unleashed, I know Simsar, you got that game, and I heard that it's awful, though I really did like the demo. Feel free to throw down that gauntlet and that challenge me on if you think that game is good, or try to convince me otherwise. So, normally around that time is when I would also respond to feedback. So I encourage all of you to, if you read an interesting game story, or if you have something that you want to be touched upon, go ahead and post it prematurely, as opposed to, I mean, you still can answer or talk about things that have already been mentioned, but if you want to kind of get a jump start so I can have an active conversation kind of with somebody, go ahead and email or post on the wall what you guys want to be talking about and your opinions on it, and I'll kind of touch on it, and then we'll kind of compare and contrast our opinions. Other awesome news, I totally bought a new PC. It's epic. It's powerful. If you're really interested in the stats, I will give them to you at a later time, maybe on the next show. But I dropped down quite a bit of money on this, and it now runs every game I own and some that I do not at full capacity, which this makes me very pleased. I'm a big fan of computer gaming, and this may be my ticket back in. And I mention that because I have literally devoted, in the past 2 weeks alone, close to 24 hours into Team Fortress 2. And I gotta say this is the greatest... No joke, I'm gonna pause for effect. The greatest first-person shooter of all time. Period. It is so freaking awesome. Let me kind of go over how much I hated it on the 360. I was looking forward to the orange box quite a bit, so much so that as a stupid human, I bought the beta version on the PC and the console version when it was released. Man, every time I'm on this podcast now, it's just going to sound like I throw money out the window. That's all I do with my money, is I waste it. That being said, my old computer could run Team Fortress 2 at a decent level, and it just had some long startup times, but the actual game ran decently. But I was more excited that all my friends were getting the orange box and the 360, so I purchased it on that as well. It's awful on the 360. It's absolutely terrible. There's a 16-player maximum, which is just brutal. There's 9 classes in the game, so if you're having an 8-on-8 match, you can't even utilize every job. Not that you even would normally in the PC version, but it limits it so much. Normally in an average PC game, that's usually like a 13-on-13 or a 15-on-15, and you've got like 2 medics, 3 heavies, 2 demo man, 15 pyros because of the stupid patch, and then it's a free-for-all. It's much more organized. I mean, like, it's just there's so much more tactics being employed. On the 360 version, a single engineer, can survive and kill literally 30 people. It's stupid. It suffered from horrible frame rate issues. It was always lagging. And to be honest, I could never find a game that was either full or competitive. It was just dumb. Now, I know Rustam, Asher, Hargit, whoever I've named him as, who never listens to the show, shame on him. I know that he's played the 360 version an extreme amount. Hats off to him, and he's taking my old computer. I'm selling it to him, so he'll join me on the PC version. But I want to kind of... I kind of had a bad taste in my mouth about the whole game after playing that version. Upon now playing this new PC, it's like I've been... I'm a born-again Team Fortress 2 player. Now, I was a huge proponent of Team Fortress Classic. I played that all the time. All the time. I was even in a clan. It dominated a portion of my high school when despite the fact that I was still involved in a lot of school activities. Team Fortress Classic was my life. Team Fortress 2 is so much better. Here's what they've done right in the game, on the PC version. They have created the most balanced gameplay I have ever seen in a shooting game in my life. The problem with like what I was alluding to earlier when I was talking about my lack of love for Halo is when you have Team Fortress 2 in Halo games, it's all about like weapon control, and if I shoot you first, I'm probably going to win this fight, though I'll be picked off by the next guy next to me because of the shields. Team Fortress 2 does away with that by introducing that awesome gameplay mechanic of 9 different classes that have both their strengths and their weaknesses, including health, speed, and weapon choice. And you can't pick up the weapons of these fallen enemies. Well, I mean, you can pick up ammo for your weapon, but it does a good job of not allowing you to own the means of production by getting the rocket launcher, or etc. The game is balanced in such a way that every class fits a role so well that no matter who you play as, you can contribute to your team. Now, there are some classes that are a little better than others, just barely. Like, the Spy is probably the worst class in the game, because every role that it can perform can be done a little better by other jobs. That being said, a good Spy can win you matches when you are down and out. But what I'm trying to get to is that I honestly think that if anybody has a Steam ID and does not own Team Fortress 2, or does own it, if you don't own it, first of all, buy it. If you do own it, add me to your friends list. My Steam account is Valabar, V-A-L-A-B-A-R, and I'm addicted to this game. Here's another awesome thing they've done with it. Each class basically has about three weapons. You have, like, your standard main weapon, which is, like, for a soldier, it's a rocket launcher. For a heavy weapons guy, it's a chain gun. For the sniper, it's a sniper rifle. Things of that nature. Each class also has a secondary weapon that they can use, like a pistol or a shotgun or etc. And you also have, like, a melee weapon, an axe, a shovel. And if it's truly a revolutionary gameplay mechanic. I mean, like, it's been done before, but I mean, like, it's really well done. And what I really like about this game, what it's done, is they've been recently throwing out these updates. So far, there's three. There's the heavy weapons guy, the medic, and the pyro all have their own unique update, which literally added close to, I believe, 35 achievements per class on the PC, not on the 360. These achievements, as you unlock them, and they're awesome achievements. I mean, like, it adds so much replayability to the game initially. That would be good if that was all it gave you. However, in Team Fortress 2, if you unlock, say, these milestones, every 10 achievements, 18, then like 25, they allow you to unlock alternative weapons that you can replace those original three with. And they take the place of, like, a different chain gun or a different, you know, medic healing gun, a different melee weapon that give different statistics and bonuses and additions that may be more useful than the standard weapon. For example, the pyro, his main weapon is a flamethrower. By holding down the left mouse button, you can shoot a stream of flames that would incinerate your enemies. By clicking the right button with the standard weapon, you emit a really hot pyro blast of air. It's a hot blast of air that can reflect any incoming rocket, demo weapon, pipe bomb kind of thing like that, or sentry gun rocket. It can also move sticky bombs that are placed in the ground. The unlockable alternative to this is a weapon called the Backburner, which is also a flamethrower. It takes away that pyroblast of air function and replaces it with 100% critical hit rates with your weapon from behind. You have to be behind your enemy. And so you have, like, that trade-off of, I really like to use the incendiary properties of this flamethrower, so I'll use that, though I'll be losing out on this defensive tactic. I really like it when games do that kind of stuff, as opposed to just unlocking new guns. And, man, I just gotta say, if you have not seen the Meet the Sniper or Meet the Demo Man or any of the Meet the Classes trailers, YouTube them or just Google TF2 Wiki and look at the classes. And, I mean, like, another thing, just so you know, that they've done amazingly in this game, is that they have set up the world and the history and the lore of each character, of each environment, so freaking well. The game takes place in 1968, and it's voice acted to perfection. I cannot believe how amazing just adding these voices to this game really enhanced the gameplay, with taunts, with random things being said as you go on killing streaks, as you kill each other. It's a very funny game that at the very same time looks amazing with its graphics, and I cannot say enough about this game. I've literally been playing it way too much. So if you don't have it, go and get it. Look me up, Valabar, and we will battle together. In addition to that, I've literally bought probably 5 or 6 new games. Warhammer was one of them. Team Fortress 2. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go back a bit. I'm not going to go back. Never mind. I'm just going to ignore that Team Fortress 2 comment. Also bought a game for the 360 called Tales of Vesperia. If you're not familiar, we're kind of changing gears here to the RPG realm. Tales of Vesperia is the Tales franchise has been popular in Japan for quite some time. The first playthrough or experience I had was Tales of Destiny on the PlayStation, in which I loved it because the battle system in the Tales games kind of does things a bit differently. And in most things, you have like a it's either like a turn-based control or you move a character around a 3D field kind of feel. The old Tales games were a 2D fighting game kind of situation where you would control your character from left to right, and one button would control like a standard slash, and another button would do a variety of combo or special moves that you could combo together. So holding up and pushing A would do one, or down and A would do another. So this franchise is pretty popular. Some notable games in, I mean, the franchise spawns Tales of Destiny 1 and 2, Tales of Vesperia, which has just been released, Tales of Symphonia, Tales of the Abyss, Tales of Legendia. So, I mean, it has a popular following. And I played the demo of this a couple of months ago, and I thought it was kind of shitty. I was like, this game's going to suck so bad. And I could not have been further from the truth. This game is awesome. I bought it on launch day. Well, in launch day, Warrensburg, it's like a week later, because nothing ever comes out here on time. Ever. I still think at McDonald's they have like the Arch Deluxe meal, which is absurd. But here in Warrensburg, I got the I picked up the game, took it back, and I literally have already poured in like some 28 to 30 hours into it, and I highly recommend it to those who are interested. The story is a little bit anime-ish. I get it. All of these things are cliche and stupid. I know it doesn't appeal to a lot of people, but that being said, I think it's well told for the most part. It stars our man, Leonardo, voice actor from Ninja Turtles, Cam Cleland, and it's either Cam Cleland, who's a football player, or it's Cam Clark. I think it's Cam Clark, actually, but I can't remember, because I watch too much football. But anyway, it's an awesome game, and I highly recommend it. In addition to that, I picked up a copy of Infinite Undiscovery, which is made by the people who have made a majority of the RPGs that I've really liked for a long time, and that's Tri-Ace. Tri-Ace has made the Star Ocean series, Radiata Stories, and the Valkyrie Profile gems that I highly recommend as well. I have not played Infinite Undiscovery yet, but I've heard a lot of kind of average to mediocre things about it, so that leads me to be a little less excited than I normally would be. So that's something I'm kind of like awaiting with abated breath to put in and kind of be like, is this gonna be any good? I'm not sure. I don't know, but I'm gonna give it a shot after I beat Vesperia. I also bought Call of Duty 4, which, see, this is another game, when we talk about the Halo franchise, like if you're comparing it to what is getting my playtime, they're both extremely frustrating. I think Call of Duty 4 and Halo 3 are just frustrating games. I feel like no matter how I do or what happens, I feel like even if I'm playing well, which I do well in both games, I feel like I attribute too much to luck, whereas and I get frustrated with the caliber of play, like with camping or with spawn camping or holding down specific locations that get a lot of traffic. I understand it's a good gameplay tactic, and I don't blame them for doing it and turtling up in these locations. But it's interesting. In Team Fortress 2, I never get frustrated with the game, despite the fact that it's like capturing control points or capture the flag. There's no team deathmatches in those games. And it really just, I never get frustrated. I never do. I always feel like, oh, that was a really well-played match right there. Or that guy was really good, and he really had my number. And Call of Duty 4, I constantly feel like I'm just being bullshitted. And I say that all the time. That's bullshit. Oh, that's bullshit. And I hate hearing myself say that's bullshit. people at my apartment will be like, what is wrong? What is going on over here? Are you playing poker again? Stop. But no, I'm playing Call of Duty 4 or Halo 3. That being said, I think Call of Duty 4 is a truly great game. And I've been having a lot of fun playing. If you all remember Brandon Case, who I had as a guest on this show, I've been playing a lot with him as I encouraged him. I think I've just been a bad influence on him. I'm making him buy a new TV, an HD TV, so I can move mine to my room, which is probably the selfish... Well, I'm not doing it for that reason. I think he would honestly enjoy it. But, I mean, I've been pushing him to get one of those because I think he'd really enjoy it. In addition to that, I made him buy Xbox Live on so he could play on the internet. But I think it's for the better, and I think I've been having a lot of fun play with him as well. So we've been putting some time into that. And those are the three. I've bought a couple of other games, but I just... Disgaea 3 was one of them. I haven't even played it yet. I know it's just pathetic, but this is what I've been doing lately with my time. And that's where I'm kind of going to conclude. I'm not going to review anything, despite the fact that I've beaten a lot of games, but that's also what I'm currently playing, in addition to this awesome little gem called Castle Crashers. That's on the Xbox 360 Arcade. Man, this game has some of the greatest art design, and you know what? It's just plain fun. And, I mean, it might not be your initial cup of tea at first. Like, I remember Hargit really wasn't a big fan of it at the beginning. He kind of thought it was kind of like a stupid game, or he was getting frustrated with it. Once he gave it some time, I tell you what, he's really gotten into it, and he likes it quite a bit. So I highly recommend, and I'm tired of saying highly recommend, so can somebody who's like Jeff or PJ give me a synonym for highly recommend so I don't have to keep saying that over and over? But that's where I'm going to kind of conclude right now what's been going on in my own gaming life. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I've been trying to reach out to Adam, and I'm going to try to get him on the podcast here in a moment. I'm still waiting on a confirmation for that. And I also am waiting on the confirmation from a special guest. Looks like I'm only going to be able to get one of those in today, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But if you also, before that, I just want to make sure, if you guys think the show is too long or if I'm rambling too much, know this, that the show will be much more structured next week when I have the feedback and the topics that you guys kind of throw down. Though I did try to do this one with a little freestyling. I have my outline set, but I thought I would just go on talking since I have no one to talk with. And if this worked for you, let me know. If this didn't work and you were kind of looking for a different direction, I can totally do that as well. But right now, I have just got this. I'm now joined by great student of the game and good friend that I've known for quite some time. Hey, welcome to the Green Hill Zone, Jeff Rizmi.
Thank you very much.
It's been a long time coming, this episode, and
It really has. Yeah. I've been listening religiously for the past month or so at work, because I do nothing at work.
And you've also been pushing and pressuring me to release a new episode for the past 3 weeks, easily.
I've been relentless with text messages and phone calls, emails, all of that.
You even sent me a letter full of shit, and and there went my creed of not using cuss words.
Yeah, we did discuss that only 2 minutes ago.
Okay, let me just preface that. Literally 2 minutes ago, I was like, you know, I'm going to take the Green Hill Zone in a new direction. No more, you know, derogatory slurs and no more cuss words.
I was in favor of actually using some curse words. You were like, no, we're going to keep it clean this time.
I think my exact quote was, now that I've gotten rid of Adam and that riffraff, I can bring a touch of class to the Green Hill Zone.
That was the exact quote.
And here I am, less than a minute into my first interview. Okay, well, it's staying on there. So, first of all, the way this is going to kind of work is I'm going to shoot some questions your way, and I just want to get your general opinions on a wide variety of video game topics. And
okay.
First and foremost, I'm not going to have you answer this question right now, but I want you to think about it because we're going to come back to this particular question at the end of the segment. And I just want you to be thinking about your top five video games of all time.
Oh, wow. That's a hefty question.
It is a hefty. It's a very hefty question, but we have a tendency. I've asked every guest that I've had on the show thus far what their favorite games are. That's why I'm saving it, even though you're going to be talking to me, so you're not going to have a lot of time to be thinking about it.
Okay.
But if you can just try to keep that in the back of your mind, and we can get back to that at the end of this segment.
Okay.
So, now, I think I've even played the Pomp and Circumstance song. You're obviously an educated man, graduated from Harvard.
I cheated my way through.
Be that as it may, I'm in my eighth year of college, so you have something up on my intelligence.
Now, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, on a different podcast I was a guest on called Experts and Intermediates, we got into a discussion about whether video games, whether or not they are indeed considered an art form.
Okay.
And that would be obviously in the same vein as movies, literature, music, etc. Just from your opinion, an educated man, what is your stance on this whole situation? Do you consider video games themselves to be an art form?
I think I definitely do. I don't know. Can you give me kind of an argument against? Because as far as I see it, art is kind of just like an interpretation of, or trying to portray emotions, trying to portray feelings, trying to tell a story, if you will. And most video games that I've come across, aside from just sports games, even sports games are art. They have the visual aspect to it. So, what are some arguments against?
Well, first, as in like an obvious kind of like a generalization, all video games. One of my points that I was trying to make for them is they include almost every other art form. Initially, they have music, they have acting in most situations, they have visuals. But one of the main things that my friend Jason Eakin, who is the host of Expert in Intermediates, that he was kind of using against me is that it's an interactive kind of thing, and most art forms that he was suggesting, almost all of them, are meant to be experienced through a specific author's vision or musician's specific thing, and video games don't really, in his opinion, allow that opportunity.
Right, I definitely see that, but you know, in the same vein, I guess, I kind of see all forms of art as also being open to interpretation and interaction between the author or artist or whatever and the viewer. So it just seems to me like video games are just taking that to a different level. It's certainly different than all other forms of art, but like you said, it combines a lot of different types of art. Games like, I haven't played it yet, but I'm sure games like Metal Gear Solid 4 are just like prime examples of just like plot line, you know, visuals, etc., music, etc., of just like beautiful art.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, it's one of the things I mentioned that in games like BioShock or you know, games that have a strong story, and mostly most RPGs have a tendency to try to tell more stories than they do on like shooting zombies or something of that nature.
Right.
But one of the things that we couldn't really conclude on, and we ended up, well, I'll give you our opinions afterwards, was that do you ever think that video games as a genre will be held in those same kind of categories that we've put the other forms of art? Like, do you think they'll be saying, in 2008, this is in a high school class, Metal Gear Solid 4 really defined storytelling in this type of genre, the way we look at movies, books, plays, etc.?
You know, maybe down the road, it's hard for me to say right now, clearly not in the next, like, 20 years or anything like that, because it still has direct ties to just kind of, like, youth, and it's not really, like, mainstream in the sense that, like, movies are, or, you know, just other general kinds of art. But I think more and more as the age group that plays video games now, as that group gets older, and it just becomes something that everyone does. I just saw a study the other day about kids under the age of like 14 and how many of them play video games. It was staggering. Like, I think over 95% of all male kids under the age of 14 play video games.
That's
as those
incredible.
Kids get older, it's ridiculous. Or maybe not play often, but at least have played or play sporadically, something like that. And just as that age group gets older, there might be some drop off, but at the same time, you know, a lot of the older population is also going to be playing video games at the same time. It, to answer your question, maybe in I can't really give it a year range, but in the fairly distant.
But you do think eventually there's an opportunity for this to potentially happen in some way or another?
There is. I mean, I don't think that people will talk about, like, I don't know, like a bowling for PlayStation 1 as, like, being any form of art, really, even though in itself it has some sort of, like, visual aspect. But, like, the bigger games, they have, I mean, they definitely have potential to be.
Yeah,
they're groundbreaking. They're huge. I mean, in terms of artistic, like, accomplishment, you have to consider them as that.
Yeah, I completely agree. But at the same time, I wonder if we'll ever have a Citizen Kane video game or a Beethoven's Fifth kind of experience. I don't think we're close at all, but maybe the more these things are released, the more... That's kind of the consensus we came to. And lastly on this question, this is the last question I'm going to pose in this kind of genre. He said that the moment it becomes something that you physically control, that you're the one playing, that art can never really become something subjective because it's something you're always controlling. It's up to you how the story unfolds. Do you think that's a valid argument?
It is. I mean, it's a valid argument, but at the same time, you know, I still feel like all sorts of art forms, to an extent, have interaction between the art itself and the viewer, or the person experiencing it. I mean, it's just fundamentally different in how much you interact with the medium, but I still think that it would have to be considered an art form regardless of the amount of interaction. It's just a fundamentally different kind of art, that's all.
Okay. Okay, I was about to say, I think that pretty much answers that question, and for God's sake, let's move on to something interesting. that was purely for Jason Eakin and his ego. I want to prove to him that I couldn't make those arguments myself, but somebody smarter than me could. So, the next thing I was going to ask you, and this is a hot-button issue in terms of me and my friends. Now, I think in my opinion, you're clearly the expert in this field. That would have to be a topic we addressed some months ago. That would be the video game backseat gamer slash partner slash I think no one has logged as many hours as watching another human play games than you.
Nearly 22 years of life now, I'm quite young still, but I would have to say that nearly 10 years of those 22 have spent as a backseat gamer.
Well, I know I had a gift as a child. It goes beyond video games. I think I made you either push me on tire swings.
Yes.
I made you do random tasks for me around the house, whether it be cleaning
Correct.
Or cooking. And of course, Correct. I made you watch me play video games. And
convinced me that I was better at making hot dogs than you.
Yeah, well, you were very good. And
no, thank you.
the thing I think the penultimate would be is that every time I came to a point in a game that I found redundant or boring, I'd be like, I think you should level grind for me.
That is correct.
So that I can be a high enough level so that I can enjoy the story and the exciting parts.
Yes, I specifically remember the Secret of Evermore. I think I played that for around 40 hours, just strictly leveling up characters, never experiencing storyline except secondhand.
Oh, sure, and I also made you collect, like, materials to craft with. I remember that was a big...
That's right, I remember that.
I'd be like, you need to go back to the prehistoric zone.
Oh, I thought it was the best thing ever because it was like, it was your system, it was your game, but I was getting to play it. It was great.
Well, it was great for me as well, I must say.
Oh, I'm not sure.
But do you feel that the video game backseat gamer has his place in video gaming? Because right now everything's online, everything's multiplayer. It's gotten so far away from a one-player. I mean, there's still lots of one-player experiences, but everything wants to be, if I'm not actually playing, then I don't want to be a part of it. Do you think that the video game partner needs to be brought back into the fold?
I think there are many aspects of the video game partner that are appealing that I wish were still around, but to me it seems like he or she is largely obsolete. because it's just what it seems like to me. I don't know. Just from playing video games in college, it just seems like everything is shifted to this, you know, massively multiplayer stuff or just multiplayer stuff, whatever. But the whole one person playing a video game and the other person sitting and watching. I mean, I listened to your show where you talked about it. I mean, I know that you still have friends who will watch you play or, you know, things like that. It's just like it seems to have dropped off in my experience.
To be honest, it's gotten to the point now where I can't get anybody to watch me play a game. And I know I'm quite good at them. I get it. I mean, I know I'm good. But it's one of two things will happen. One is like a good example would be Metal Gear Solid 4. It's a game that I really wish I could share with another individual without actually having them play it because I want to play more.
Right.
I understand it's selfish. But the other thing that happened recently, and it was a very awkward social situation. It's one of the main reasons I moved my television in my room, is I bought a new 360 game called Tales of Vesperia, okay?
Okay.
It's in the same vein as like those Suikoden kind of anime-ish RPGs.
Okay.
And I felt like a loser playing it out in the living room. Where every time my roommates would come by, I didn't want anybody to watch me. They were like, "What the hell is this? Some DBZ shit?" And I'm like, what? And I was like, "What's that? They're like Dragon Ball Z, you freaking loser." And I was like, "No, it actually has some pretty cool story. It's pretty adult." And they're like, "It's a bunch of cartoons. You're so lame."
And I also like, by the way, that you've now said freaking just to regain that sense of class we shot for.
Well, yeah, and I actually just said shit just a minute ago again.
Yeah, you did, and then said freaking.
I'm just making really horrible host decisions right now. But, I mean, like, it's almost to the point where video game backseat, it can be embarrassing in the same sense. When you watched me play Halo, I was like, "Oh, I'm having a really big off day. I don't like playing on these big 40-inch TVs."
Yeah.
So, I'm torn. I mean, like, part of me really wants it to share those glory days of you being like, "Hey, great combo. This is really great. I really like sitting here watching you." But maybe the time has come to move on.
Well, you know what? I do have to say that because I played a lot of Halo 3 in college, especially senior year. And whenever I'd play that online, it seems like there was almost always someone else in the room watching and commenting, usually telling me how bad I was because that's how my roommates were. But now maybe
it's terrible.
Yeah, they really are. But that's, I think, maybe that's just how it's evolved. But I think, also, I would still watch anybody play games like Resident Evil, Clock Tower, because those games scared the hell out of me, and I'm honestly too afraid to play them all the way through by myself.
I think the consensus everybody now is two things. One is never let Stacy backseat game, period. Because he's one of those guys who, you push the button, you gotta go back and get the wheel first, you idiot. And
yeah, I've never experienced that.
Oh, lucky you. And I think the other thing is that it will always hold that place in our heart, but unfortunately I think it's gone the way of the dinosaur, and it's just, if someone is watching you now, it's just an insult fest.
Yeah, it's just to watch you and tell you how bad you're doing.
Right, so that being said, I want to kind of shift the conversation to less me talking, more you. I want to know your opinions generally, firstly, on the most recent three systems, and I'll give those to you in order of in a set order, and then I want to kind of ask you a bit about all video game systems in whole and how they stack up to today's.
Okay.
So first and foremost, the one you've probably had the most experience with would be the Xbox 360. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
And in your opinion, as a part-time gamer that you are, I know you're more into the classics, but how do you feel that Microsoft has done with this particular console at this particular time?
Right. Okay. Well, I kind of have to separate this into two areas. The first area, just to address, would be the console itself, because I think that the console, or multiple consoles that we had in our room in college, I think we had to send it in over 3 times, and I know other people have had much worse experiences. Just on the, I've never, ever in the history of video game consoles seen or heard of such a poorly created or maintained system. It's unbelievable.
That
I can't
is.
Believe It's just shocking, really, that they would allow a product like this that's deficient to. But anyway, that's neither. I mean, that well, it is here and there.
Well, I mean,
but,
there's records of them losing over close to hundreds of millions, close to $1 billion, allegedly, just in repairs alone. Which I think that's an inflated number. But I mean, they've kind of taken.
Regardless, the point still stands.
Well, yeah, I've had to send in mine 3 times and had 1 store exchange. And so it is an annoying thing, but they do offer a 3-year warranty now, you know, I guess, so they've recognized.
But it's still just a hassle, you know. I mean, it's just like you don't want to be without. If you play a game or if you're playing a game that you're invested in or whatever, you don't want to be without your system for a couple, like 2 weeks or something. It's miserable.
For example, you know what, my friend Adam Hargett?
Yeah.
He had a part-time job working for the call center for Microsoft in Kansas City.
Oh, God.
And he said that he eventually just had to quit because it made him feel so bad and so the whole environment was so crappy. It was right when Halo 3 was announced.
Yep.
Or about to come out, like in a week or two. And people would be calling and be like, I got the red rings, man. What am I going to do? And he was like, well, you have to send it in. And they'd be like, how long is it going to take? And he's like, up to 3 to 6 weeks. And they'd be like, they'd be like, no, man, Halo 3's coming out. Please do something. And he was like, I can't. And then they'd be like, well, fuck you! Which, there goes my class again.
We have given up.
But, I mean, they would yell at him, and they'd give him trouble, be like, why don't you fix it? What's wrong?
Yeah.
And they just, and he just felt so guilty, and he hated the environment. But, yeah, I mean, it's made a lot of people, it's one of the main arguments against that console, so.
I mean, it's miserable. The thing is, the like, and it, also just a really quick side note is that I just saw online, this is a danger, too, is that there are people who will, they are offering services to fix the your Xbox for you. Just come to your house or your apartment or whatever and fix it for you. It's not like the official Xbox thing, so who knows what the hell they're going to do to your system. But that's a side note.
No,
but
yeah,
anyway,
I don't trust that one.
No, I don't either. I would never do that. But I'm sure that some people who know less about it or like just don't want to send it in. That's tempting, you know. It's
yeah.
Just like, yeah, I'll pay $20 for you to come and fix it, even though they might just completely break your system. But so that's just in terms of the console thing, and I have to admit that I used to be a huge. I know that you have always been, for the most part, a Sony proponent, and I have been. I owned a PS1, I owned a PS2, and I loved both of them. But once I started playing the 360, I really loved it. The biggest problem with it in my mind is just the console itself. But that said, all of the games that I've played, for the most part, I mean, most of the games that I've played, I've really enjoyed. I like, the games that I play the most are like Halo 3, Call of Duty 3 and 4, Guitar Hero 3, Madden, whichever yeah. iteration of Madden it was. But anyway, very happy with the games. I think most of the ones that I've played have just been phenomenal. I played a little bit of Bioshock. That game looked unreal from the small amount that I played. But yeah, for the most part, and also with their online system, I've really liked it.
Yeah, I think they've done a really strong.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously their online integration is leaps and bounds ahead of everybody's.
Right.
And that being said, that's obviously one of the premier what's considered next generation, current generation, super powerful. I mean, that's like it and the PS3 are the two forefronters in technology, while you have the Wii. But that being shifted to, what do you think of the PlayStation 3? What you've heard, or what you've played, or what you've seen, etc.
You know, I haven't really had the opportunity to play it too much. I think, in fact, I've only played it once or twice, so I can't really speak to it that much. I've heard good things. I know that initially the price, the ticket was pretty high, but I know I've heard good things from you. I've heard good things from other people. I haven't really heard too much bad about it. So, but for the most part, I can't really speak too much about it.
Okay, and then lastly, there's the Wii itself. What are your opinions on that?
You know, I liked playing. You know, this got terrible reviews. I liked playing Wii Sports, just as relaxing, like just bored. You know, just pass the time kind of thing. But by and large, I find the Wii to be pretty gimmicky. And I'm not a big fan of the system in general. I know my roommate absolutely loved it, and he would like go into his room and turn all the lights off and play Lego Star Wars by himself. Creepy. But
that's a very
everyone else was
saying.
Everyone else was out in the common room, like watching a football game or like playing Halo 3 with each other. He was in his room playing Lego Star Wars with the lights off.
Now, one question: was this the same roommate who was eventually banned from Halo 3?
Wait a minute. Which roommate are you talking about?
I believe John was banned from Halo 3 for constantly bringing down your ranking and
No, that's a different one. John was so bad at Halo 3, he acknowledged it. He didn't even play on my account because he knew it would just be a joke.
There was one person who kept logging in as you, and eventually you were like, "Hey man, you've got to stop."
It was much more forceful than that, actually, and it was Ted. Ted was his name.
Ted, if that's the one.
But I was doing very well in Halo, and I was really enjoying doing well and moving my rank up and everything. It was a fun thing to do in college, and if I had one right now, I'd probably be doing the same. But Ted would just get on when I wasn't when I was at class or whatever. And he was just terrible at the game, and he would immediately drop my rank down at least 2 points, and I just have to start all over.
Yeah, and it's bad. And by the way, if I may interrupt you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Did you know that yesterday, and kind of, this is a slight tangent, although we already kind of admitted the Wii is a piece, but were you aware that the Halo 3 Mega Update was released yesterday?
I think you mentioned something about that, but I don't really know what that entails. I don't know what the specifics of the update are, really. More achievements?
There's like 750 points worth of new achievements. 25, I think, or 30 total. Mostly, there's a new maps coming out. I mean, they totally...
Really?
And they reset, I believe, they reset all the ranks to kind of,
wow.
And they took away with some of the more prominent game types and made them into some different ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to get your own 360, there's been a huge increase in Halo 3 participation in the past couple of days.
It's a smart move by them.
Yeah, although they've been really, it's a cash cow. I mean, they've released like two or three
That's what I mean.
Packs, and I've bought them all, yet I rarely play them. So they know what they're doing.
That's why it's a smart move. I honestly didn't really... the only update that we got was the very first supplemental map pack. And
right.
I wasn't a big fan of them, and then I just kind of turned that option off. I just kept playing the original maps, but I don't know.
Okay, so the kind of... We're getting to that tail end of the... I told you we'd go back to that we talk about the initial three consoles, and then I just wanted to get your opinion on the scope of console releases. What is your favorite console ever?
Oh, man. That's... maybe it's not as tough as I thought it would be. I think I can almost definitively say that it was the Super Nintendo.
I think that's mine as well. I kind of flip-flop between that and one of the first two PlayStations. I liked them quite a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say either that or PlayStation 1, just because I was a big, big fan of a lot of the games that came out for PS1. And I played a lot of PS2 as well. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. I feel like maybe it is that more recent games have sacrificed storyline in favor of graphics. I know that a lot of people disagree, but... it just seems like those games from, you know, the Super Nintendo and the PlayStation, there's just such great storylines, you could play them so many times over and over and still be fun.
I totally agree. One of the things that I like about the Super Nintendo is at that time, making a game complicated was absolutely not a necessity.
Right.
And they were like, this is a game we made, at its base we think it's fun. And that's pretty much what you're going to get from it. Even if it's things like Rival Turf or Joe and Mac, or even all the way to things like Chrono Trigger, the simplicity had its own place, and the complex had its own, while today's games are almost entirely complex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every sister or brother when you're a child or younger could play any of the Mario games and get it. But nobody I know that doesn't play games now, if I give them Call of Duty 4... they're just like, this is way too complicated.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how a lot of people that I try to get to play a certain game with me who don't play that often, they'll just be like, this is way too much for me to learn. It's just, I don't want to do this. And it's, I mean, I guess there's something to be said of accessibility. But also, that's not even like, in my opinion, that's not even the biggest thing. It's just like, there's something, not necessarily accessibility, but just like the simplicity that you said, but in another type of simplicity. It's just like it was like a simple elegance to the games that came out on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you turn it on, and you immediately start, and there you go.
Yep.
And so, I was going to ask you of the future of video games, but I'm going to kind of shelve that based on the fact that you're like, well, I haven't played the PS3. I don't own a Wii. Well, I played the 360, but only like 5 games, so...
Well, I do... I will say that I feel like the whole Wii, you know, motion thing, I really feel like that's just kind of like a side, like, novelty kind of thing. I don't think that's the future of gaming kind of stuff.
I feel like it's not.
I know, I do too. I feel like maybe more along the lines of, like, whether it's a good thing or not, I think a lot of games like Guitar Hero, Dance Dance Revolution, whatever, those are just really accessible to a large, large number of people. And I think rhythm-based games of certain types definitely have a pretty big future.
Yeah, and I'm gonna actually touch more on the Wii on the next episode. So get ready for a verbal beatdown of that. But it's time to go back to that aforementioned, or that's the right term. I don't know. I go to JUCO. So well, I did. Top 5 games all time, starting at number 5, going to number 1. What is your list?
Oh man, this is tough. Because right off the bat, I thought of an honorable mention, but I don't know how much that really helps.
Well, what's the honorable mention?
This is ridiculous. I just loved this game, and I loved playing multiplayer of this game more than pretty much any other game. But for some reason, the game Poi Poi makes it on my honorable mention.
Oh, God. How could you do this to me?
Just because that's not necessarily that makes it sixth. But it's just an honorable mention because it is one of the best games to get 4 people in a room, get a multi-tap for the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
and play that game. It's just an honorable mention.
All about that game completely.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty expensive now. It's like pretty rare apparently.
Oh man, that really brings back some memories of frustration and pain. Yeah, at the same time, that was a really fun game.
It was a really fun game. I mean, like I said, not necessarily sixth, but I'll make it an honorable mention. Past that, I'm having trouble ordering them. I know 3 that will definitely go on my top 5.
How about this? How about you give the top 5, and then later on this week, you can post on the website or something of that nature and kind of rank them in a particular order.
Okay.
Since you're being put on the spot.
Right, no, I understand. All right, well, for sure ones that will go on there. Earthbound, without a doubt.
Of course, one of our classic game-watching experiences.
Right, exactly. Chrono Trigger goes on there for me.
Yet another all-time great.
Oh,
by the way, I'm so sorry to interrupt you again. I was going to pose this question to you. If you were to choose between the two, how high would you... I was going to ask you, without knowing your top 5, Chrono Trigger or Earthbound?
Just my favorite between the two.
Which one would you take if you could only choose one?
I would probably take Chrono Trigger.
Wow. That surprises me.
Really? You thought I'd be Earthbound?
I thought you would, and I know you're struggling with that decision, but every time I think of Earthbound, I cannot help but think of Jeff Rismy, looks just like the character named Jeff in the game.
I really do. It's uncanny.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that game, it's just... It's not quite on the level of Chrono Trigger. It's a fantastic, just like fun RPG that you can play, but Chrono Trigger is like so good.
It is very good.
That's really like, I see that as a great work of art.
As do I. So, okay, so those are the two. I just want to get that for my personal database of what you would choose. The other 3 that are kind of sitting on this list.
Yeah, I'm also going to put Final Fantasy. Fantasy VII, and I don't know, it seems like there's been a real backlash recently, mainly from people who didn't play it when it came out.
Yeah.
it seems to me that people played it who played it after the fact are like, this game wasn't revolutionary at all. It's not that good. The graphics aren't good, etc., etc. People who played it at the time, generally speaking, loved it. I loved it when it came out. That's when I played it.
Generally speaking, most people who... That was their first RPG, if we're talking about the other end of the spectrum. And those people, to this day, think it's the single greatest game ever made.
Right. And it's not at the top of my list, that's for sure. But I don't understand this backlash now that's, you know... People, especially people who play, like, Final Fantasy VIII and then played VII.
Well, yeah.
I found that a lot of them tend to like VIII more.
Well, here's another thing that's kind of with that whole subject, is that Final Fantasy VII reached such a popular level that, and any time that happens in any kind of game or movie, inherently people will start saying, it's overrated, why is it so popular? And even if they liked it, they'll be like, this one's way better, you know? It's just because it's reached to that point where they'd rather just buck the trend and go against everybody who says, this is the greatest game I've ever seen. So far we have three RPGs.
There's actually going to be a fourth, I've just realized.
My God, is there no Die Hard Trilogy on this list?
For some reason, I actually thought of Die Hard Trilogy. I just couldn't bring myself to put it on the list. No, I'm going to put Suikoden, or however you want to pronounce it, 2.
Good choice. That's my number one. Number 2. That
I was going to say that might be my number one.
That game is a rare compilation of amazing storytelling and great character development, all in one great tidy package, in my opinion. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't want to go on too long about it, but I still fail to understand why that game hasn't come out for the PSP here.
Yeah, I bought my copy in Japan. That's the dual compilation of, they came out with obviously the 1 and 2 on its own PSP disc, and I bought it while I was there. Just to own, so.
But you can't play it.
Well, I can play it on my PSP because it's region-free.
You can't understand it.
I can't read a damn thing that's going on.
Can you get some sort of like hack that can translate it for you or something?
I've looked long and hard, and I have yet to been able to find one. So.
All right.
So I have an opinion of what should be your final game on this list, but I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to let you. You've named four, and they've all been role-playing games. You loser.
Well, I'm thinking back because, like, I don't want to put something like Guitar Hero 3 on this list. I don't want to put, like, I'm considering putting Halo 3 on this list, but I don't really, it just doesn't seem to fit. It's like a game that I really liked senior year in college. It's not a game that I just think will survive the test of time, necessarily.
So let's see, if your final game, I'm going to see if it matches up with mine, so...
Yeah, but the thing is that I'm coming up with these on the spot. It's very possible that I've forgotten something. I'm thinking, no, I know what it is. I'm going to put Maniac Mansion on there.
Okay, that's fine. It wasn't the one I was thinking of, but I'll totally, I know how much that's my number one game as well.
Really?
Okay. Well, I mean, like, it's a three-way toss-up between Secret of Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion and Suikoden 2.
Okay. So yeah, I never played Monkey Island.
It's a great one, so. Here's the game I'm a little shocked that was not mentioned. And I was kind of hoping to hear it, and that would have been Team Fortress Classic.
Oh, damn. Yeah, okay.
I always felt that was one of the games that we didn't get to play enough together, but at the same time, it was great.
That was a great game. I got really good at that game.
You did, and in fact, you didn't know this because you can't hear the whole episode because you're just at the tail end, but literally 15 of the minutes of this episode in particular, I am completely raving on how Team Fortress 2, no joke, is the greatest first-person shooter of all time.
Really?
If you have a PC that can run it decently, it sucks on the 360 really bad, but I've been playing so much of it on the PC, and it's seriously the greatest first-person shooter I've ever played.
That is a bold, bold claim.
And I think I've played enough of them to make that claim, and I stand by this one 100%. So next time you visit, I bought a new computer recently, and that's what it allows me to be playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's your top five. I think that, is there anything, I always allow this as well, as the guest, is there anything that you would like to mention or bring up or talk about before I conclude this interview?
I do just want to mention that the Kansas City Royals hopefully will not be finishing in fifth place because they just swept the Detroit Tigers in Detroit. I'm a huge Kansas City Royals fan. I know Pete is too. I've heard another guest on the show, kind of just scoff at the idea of a Royals fan. I scoff at the idea of him, so that's that.
So here's a little bonus segment. I never get to do this on the Green Hill Zone. So for those of you who like the core content of what we normally talk about or things that are interesting, please, you can stop listening right now. Because I'm going off on a sports tangent because I never get to talk sports with anyone ever. So then we'll conclude the normal thing. But did you read today that Matt Millen's era in Detroit football is officially over?
I did read that, and I heard just, you know, the chorus singing across the country. I mean, it was well overdue.
Here's the thing. I've been reading a lot about sports lately, and I have a subscription to Jim Rome. And, like, I just moved to Warrensburg, obviously, to continue my education. Right. Can you imagine a worse place to live in? Because they're due, obligation-wise, to show both the Rams and the Chiefs every Sunday. It is horrible.
That's amazing. They are literally the worst and the second worst teams in the NFL.
And I can't. The Show Me State is just doing so bad, and I can't watch like Peyton or Eli Manning.
Wait! With the exception of the Missouri Tigers.
Well, yeah, the Missouri Tigers are good.
Right. No. They are.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hope we draft Chase Daniel. I don't know, something. But,
I don't know why we didn't draft Brady Quinn, but that's, again, whatever.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. But, I mean, here we are. I mean, like, this is seriously the most frustrating football year I think I've ever been through. The entire city is writing these people off, as well they should. Have you ever seen a worse Chiefs team?
No, I mean, I definitely haven't. I mean, ever since I started paying attention to the Chiefs, it must have been early 90s. You know, they've either made the playoffs or just been mediocre. There have been a couple years where they've been bad, but this is the worst. This is one of the worst teams that I've ever seen. This team might be worse than last year's Dolphins. Maybe.
I know. I mean, I'm not kidding. Because at least last year's Dolphins, you got 100% effort, and you sometimes got a competitive game.
Right. Well, and here's the thing that I really don't understand is that I just read an article, and I've been thinking this too, but this guy, you know, wrote it out much more eloquently than I could have said it. But Joe Posnanski, who is a writer for the Kansas City Star, and now he's a writer for Sports Illustrated. He's made it big now. he was talking about how it's unbelievable that the Chiefs really think that they can go through some rebuilding phase with a quarterback like Tyler Thigpen, or even Brody Croyle, for that matter. Brody Croyle is not an NFL quarterback. He's not a top NFL quarterback. He can be a serviceable backup, maybe. Tyler Thigpen has no place on any roster, I don't think.
No, he could not even play in the Big 12.
I mean, no, he couldn't hold Chase Daniel's jock.
No, and here's the thing that frustrates me is you've got that great quote from Herm where he's like, "You play to win the game." Yet he's treating every regular season game like it's preseason.
Yep.
It's horrible. Okay, here's another couple of sports things I wanted to touch on before. Did you know that we've literally been talking for close to 36 minutes?
I actually have a timer on my Skype. I actually downloaded Skype today, and little known fact is that all Skype programs are the same. So yes, I did know that.
Oh, wow. How about that, you jerk? but this is actually going to end up being one of the longest podcasts, despite me not having a partner. So, oh boy. Do you see that? The Brew Crew won today, and the Mets yet again blew a lead and lost.
I actually did not. I'm now looking at that right now. That's amazing.
This is an epic meltdown. Again.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I know I have a few friends at least who are Mets fans, and they must be just absolutely devastated and terrified that last year is going to happen again.
It is.
I am happy, though, that Minnesota beat the White Sox because there are very few teams that I hate more than the Chicago White Sox.
You know what? It was the saddest day when King Griffey Jr. got traded to them.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, I'm going to generalize just completely, but their fans are really trashy.
They are. They attacked our first base coach.
They take their shirts off. Father-son combos take their shirts off and drink a whole lot, get drunk, jump onto the field, and assault defenseless first base coaches.
All right, and one last thing, your opinion on Brett Favre. Sure. Tenure in Green Bay is over. He is now playing for the New York Jets. How do you see this scenario ending?
I see the Jets as having a mediocre year. If you had asked me this 2 weeks ago, after their first game, I would have said that Jets are making the playoffs. You know, I'm definitely singing a different tune now because it's clear the Jets are not as good as Brett Favre is. But I think Brett Favre's played
bad,
well.
Though. I think he hasn't. I think he's not on the same page. Everyone's he's
well, they're not on the same page, that's for sure. I just think his talent level, he still has the talent level. I don't think they're on the same page. I think you're right.
Boy, I thought Green Bay really gave him a screw job.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing was a mess.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers handled it as well as anybody could, but I thought that whole thing just was bad.
And Aaron Rodgers is sitting pretty well right now. He's doing fantastically.
That he is, but I think that's going to end our interview section. I thank you very much, for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been listening for quite a while, or at least I've been listening to a lot of episodes recently. I can say that.
Right, and this one should be posted either tonight. I might actually just do it right now, or within the next couple of hours. On it's now technically for a timestamp for posterity. It's Wednesday, September 24th, 2008. I recorded the first half of this podcast somewhere back like last Friday or something, so we just had trouble hooking up and getting this together. Again, Jeff, thank you very much. I hope to have you back on soon. Again, I cannot thank you enough for being a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. I would love to do it again sometime.
All right, take care.
You too.
Thus concludes yet another wonderful, action-packed episode of the Green Hill Zone. Let it be known long and hard that I know that technical problems abound were in this episode, varying volume quality with my own voice, and I do appreciate that, I don't appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that you're probably going to bring it to my attention and make fun of me. It's going to get fixed. I'm going to figure this thing out. This is the beta version of Green Hill Zone Episode 1 Restart. I thank you for tuning in. Next week we're going to have a lot of cool stuff. Adam's going to join me on the show as a little guest again. I'm going to also touch base on the Wii, other gaming topics, and if you want to be a part of that, or if you want to comment on anything in gaming general, just send it to me, post it on the website. Until next week, I am out.